Come, Holy Ghost, kindle in our hearts the fire of thy love. If anyone love me, he will keep my word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not words, but deeds. St. Philip Neri has been telling us these days. This Holy Ghost saint swallowed fire, the love of God. And ever after that incident, his heart was hot to the hand. So warm was he with the fire of God's own love. And he would tell those who went to confession to him, or the young people he was training, not words, but deeds. Surely, this is the proof that we love our Lord and that we keep his word. Not just words, but deeds. But sometimes words are just what the doctor ordered, Dr. Jesus, for the health of our souls. It is easy for us at any age to persuade others, parents or teachers, or clergy or our friends. And finally, if we're not careful, we persuade even ourselves by words that are so eloquent. What good Catholics we must be, what wonderful people we are. And all of this merely at the price of talking a good line. And as we're saying it, we get caught up in the fervor of the moment and we half believe it is true for a moment, but they're only words, and we know it to be so. The proof of piety is not found in pious phrases, but rather it is to love the Father so much that we are afraid to offend him. This is the Holy Ghost's gift. It is one of seven, piety. You can only grasp what it means by meditating it a while in silent. You love God as a father, and so much that you are afraid to offend him. And that's everything. Obedience. The loving, exact obedience, not of a slave who looks over his shoulder at the scourge that's waiting for his disobedience, but the obedience of a son who can only see the love he has for the Father. This proves we keep his words. St. Philip Neri insisted on this kind of an obedience. I want the sacrifice of your will. Learn always to obey. Obedience will be your salvation. Who, after all, is pious? We can learn at an early age to say the most marvelous things, and this to the great edification of others. And we seem even to ourselves quite sincere in the heat of the moment. But all of this could be mere manipulation with the words, unless our will is gotten out, laid on the altar, and sacrificed in deeds. One little drop of simple obedience, said St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, another one of our Holy Ghost saints. One simple little drop of obedience is worth a million times more than a whole canful of the choicest contemplations. Four monks, this is about the 4th century, and in Egypt, four monks went to see the great Saint Pambo. And you can tell they're saints because when each had his private interview with the saint, he wanted to praise his companions. And so they did. And it seems that the first of these fasted severely and continually. And the second, poverty. He possessed nothing. And the third, glowed with holy charity like a charcoal on fire, red, hot with God's love. And the fourth, he obeyed and had lived a life of obedience for 20 years. The virtue of this last brother is greatest of all, judged the old saint, because the rest, although they did well, followed their own will. But he, this one, he has made himself the servant of another's will. Deeds, not words. But sometimes, I think, the hardest deeds are words. Words which would mortify you to utter them. And these are words inspired by the Holy Ghost, I mean, which run counter to all that you feel. When, on a certain occasion, all you want to do is to run coward to the shelter of silence. The Holy Ghost nabs you and puts something in your mouth and almost makes you to say it. These are words of great value. When the barbarian king of those who would become the French, Clovis, was baptized by Saint Remigius the bishop, at the font, the bishop made him a little sermon about his duty and obligations as a Christian and how severe they were. And then he sketched out for him in simple terms the beauties of the divine plan. When the bishop got to the part about the passion and the crucifixion of our Lord, in his simple enthusiasm, King Clovis exclaimed, "They never would have crucified him had I been there with my warriors." The words of others see their benefit, or maybe something that you have read, an eloquent sermon, or just the whisperings in silence of God's own Spirit. These things can stir up sentiments of love and of loyalty, kindling in us for some time the fire of God's love. But will it become a consuming flame or something rather more tame and temporary? If anyone love me, he will keep my word. The Jesus we love is everywhere outraged. In his church, in every conventicle of error, in his mother's heart, in this country which he claims as king, in his subjects who serve him not. And neither do we, not nearly enough. Why, you can see it in your deeds. But surely we could at least spare him a word. We could rise up in indignation and fight for him when we see him suffering all over again and going to die again. It often happens. Sometimes you're there when it does. Some dirty robe of ridicule is thrown over Christ's bleeding shoulders by people who scoff at religion or the idea of the true, or who spit in Christ's face by the spitfire of their profanities and their blasphemies. how many Catholics there are who strip Christ of his choicest garments, the clothing of his children, whom they refuse to give a Catholic education to, or even a good example, or even to assuage Christ's burning thirst on the cross for souls by simply coming to Sunday Mass, and they will not. And you find yourselves, don't you? You find yourself sometimes sitting there by the cross, stupidly silent, or even with a smile on your face, as some idiot, some airhead, is flaunting his ignorance of God and of God's plans. Are those Catholics whom you know carefully plaiting Christ's crown of thorn all over again, refusing even to consider the teachings of the Church, preferring their own prejudices, yesterday's ignorances, and superstitions? Please don't confuse me with the facts. I've made up my mind already. Jesus is dying in all of these situations. If an unbaptized barbarian would have stopped it, what of you, or of Christ at the end, suffocating on the cross in some soul who is so far from his Savior, so long since he has received the sacraments? But you didn't want to send the scapular or stir things up in the family by asking about the sacraments, and no sense upsetting him. Why, it would only frighten the sick person, and after all, he's not dying yet today, but tomorrow he's dead or drugged, no peace made with his God. In Christ's heart is pierced all over again, and one of his lambs is lost for silence. Why are words wanting to us? Words that could be crucial deeds to determine death or life. Some simple explanation, a kind invitation. It may be because we never stop talking to impress others and start listening to God's own Spirit, who wants to press upon our heart and lips his will. If your lips would only repeat his words, the words of God, sacred scripture, while your heart is considering his deeds, and this, I think, if I am not mistaken, is a pretty good definition of what the rosary is, why then your words will be deeds well-pleasing to him, kindling your heart, but sincerely this time, in the hearts of others too, with the fire of his love. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.